This is Fracturing Football, where producers Jack Edwards and Noah Lichtenberg break down the latest in fantasy football news.
Welcome to the fifth show of Fracturing Football. I'm your host, Noah Lichtenberg. Alongside me, I have my co-host, Jack Edwards.
Thank you, Noah. We had another great week of fantasy football to talk about. And joining us on today's show, we have a returning guest in Luke Donovan, as well as a brand new guest, our first guest that has not been a part of radio on air. Would you like to introduce yourself and kind of talk about what you do as a part of the Greyhound Media Network?
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Hi, I'm Griffin Hadley, and I'm a part of the CHTV program here at Carmel High School.
Glad you could be here, Griffin. During today's show, we are going to highlight some of the top performers from this past week. Ask some of those pertinent questions that are starting to come up at this point in the season.
But this year, I made sure to get him. He was one of my sleeper guys. I was fortunate enough to also get Michael Thomas. And I know, like other receivers such as Antonio Brown, Stephon Diggs, OBJ, often went ahead of Adam Thielen. But if you got Thielen in your leagues, that was a great addition to your team.
Yeah, another person that was kind of a risky pick in the top of drafts was Saquon Barkley. But we've really seen some greatness out of him. He scored 38 points this past week. He led the Giants in receptions and carries with 229 total yards and a TD.
He, I think, is the number one running back in fantasy football. He's number three in terms of points scored. But me personally, if I had to choose one guy, I would take Saquon Barkley, because what I want from him is, yeah, explosive value in guys like Alvin Kamara is good, but he has proven this year that behind a terrible Giants offensive line and with Eli Manning, who is not the guy he used to be, he has proven that he's matchup proof and he's an absolute stud. And he is like Alvin Kamara, who was the running back one before he got replaced by Todd Gurley now. I would take him because of that consistency. In every single week, you can count on him to be a 20-point guy in PPR leagues, and that's something that's really, really valuable and can win you a lot of games.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd say I would have Gurley at number one at this point just because of the amount of goal line carries he gets. But with Saquon leading his team with 22 touches, he's leading that offense, and he is definitely the most up-and-coming running back in the NFL at this point.
And I think one other thing to support that, or at least my side, I think, is the Giants have been terrible so far this year, and if they get any remotely bit better, then that's going to make Saquon any remotely bit better, and he's been phenomenal so far this year, versus, I think, the Rams and Todd Gurley. You also have to look at factors beyond just fantasy football and the fact that they're 5-1 or 6-0 now.
I forget.
6-0. They're going to have to say, well, maybe starting week 10, if we're guaranteed for the playoffs, you want to keep him fit. Maybe you're going to start dropping those touches versus Saquon Barkley. Giants are desperate for something. I think that could be an interesting factor to look at. And I think that's why Saquon Barkley, at least, him and Todd Gurley are go-to guys that every week you can count on them to be one of the best running backs in the NFL.
A couple of shows ago, we made the hot take that Calvin Ridley, fantasy-wise, is better than Julio Jones. And Julio Jones did well this week. He scored 24 points. He had 10 receptions for 143 yards. But the problem is, once again, he didn't have any touchdowns. What do you guys think of Julio this week?
Ridley did get hurt in that game, and despite him getting hurt, Sanu stepped up, had like 74 and a touchdown. And then Austin Hooper was one reception shy of Julio and also caught a touchdown. The Falcons really like to spread that offense around, and I think if Ridley played the full majority of that game, he would have actually been able to score more and stepped up as he got hurt.
I think the issue with Julio, though, is the Falcons have a lot of weapons. I mean, Ridley, Sanu, Hooper, and they have injuries for Freeman. They have Tevin Coleman in the backfield, and then you have Matt Ryan, obviously, former MVP quarterback. That's an issue in fantasy football whenever you have a lot of handicaps like that, and that's why Julio, at least in the red zone, that's one of the areas where they're able to spread the ball around, because when they get in the red zone, they're not thinking, well, my fantasy team needs Julio to score right now. They're thinking, I want to get this ball into the end zone. And with multiple targets and multiple threats on your team, that means that you're going to get much less. I think that the issue with Julio, though, is zero touchdowns so far this year. And that's because he's a 6'4 frame kind of guy. That's kind of surprising for me. And that does worry me a lot for him, at least when you look at him compared to other wide receivers out there who are really kind of exploding this year, like Devontae Adams, Tyler Boyd, getting a lot of touchdowns in their games, at least.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd got 25 points this week. Once again, he's had two touchdowns. He's becoming the leading wide receiver in Cincinnati, maybe, over AJ Green. What do you guys think about him?
I'd say Tyler Boyd is a great option for Andy Dalton. I'd say AJ Green is still that number one, but I know cornerbacks are going to be covering AJ Green heavy. And when AJ Green is being double covered, Tyler Boyd is a great option for Andy Dalton. And I think we've been able to see that over the past couple weeks with Tyler Boyd scoring all these touchdowns.
Yeah, AJ Green is actually 11th right now in PPR for wide receiver, slightly ahead of Tyler Boyd, who's 13th. This is actually working really well for the Bengals because they've just been short of being a playoff team in recent years, and it's usually been the Andy Dalton, AJ Green show. But now they have other pieces, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, to use on their offense.
I remember I just don't like players from Cincinnati, at least, with Andy Dalton, because I just didn't feel confident with them, at least. AJ Green, I've never been that high on him. But now with Tyler Boyd, as well as Joe Mixon, they're 4-2 now, and they nearly beat the Steelers this weekend to go to 5-1. I think that they have proven me wrong, definitely. I think that they have some of the best fantasy players in the league, at least, because Joe Mixon he doesn't catch the ball much on the backfield, but he can run the ball for sure.
For this last segment of the show, we will be talking about trades. And as your teams are getting ready for the playoffs, there are certain things you look for in a trade. But we're going to start off, and I know, Jack, you recently had a trade. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I traded Eric Ebron and Matt Breda for Leonard Fournette in one of my leagues. Now, I think for trades, at least in general, the biggest thing you got to know is how strong your team is right now and how strong the opposing team is. The team I traded them to was 0-4. I was 3-1. So they need, so when they're looking at the trade, they say, all right, I have Leonard Fournette. He's a guy who, when he comes back, if he's healthy, he's going to be a top 10 running back easy. However, right now, how long is it until he's going to be performing for me? 3-4 weeks? Can I actually be realistically in the playoffs by then if I'm 0-4 at this point? So then you say, all right, I have to look at trying to get assets now versus me. I'm 3-1. I feel very comfortable with my team. I'm saying, well, I have James Conner. I need a replacement in a few weeks. So I'm going to give up a few players who could help me right now for Leonard Fournette, who maybe could help me in a few weeks. That was kind of my rationale for that trade. What are your thoughts on that, at least?
I think I like the other side better. Eric Ebron, number one tight end, but I don't think he's going to keep those numbers up. But I would honestly take Breda for Fournette straight up. Breda's, I think, like 12th or 13th so far this year, running back-wise, and I feel like he's going to keep that role. He's clearly the starter. Morris had 0 points last week.
Matt Breda did have an injury, though. So
yeah, but he played.
That was also my thinking there.
He played. Morris did not get a single touch. Breda scored early in that game. I think he had like 63 yards and a touchdown.
I think, Jack, I think your thought process was good, but I think this trade really helps both sides. Like, I think this 0-4 team, obviously, they could have waited.
They've won their last two games, by the way.
Yeah, they could easily have waited for Fournette, but if you're 0-4, you need to win now. If you want to make the playoffs, you got to win now. So trading for a hot Ebron and a hot Breda could really be beneficial, and for you, Jack, needing someone later on, getting Fournette could be beneficial for you too. Yeah. So I really think this was a really strongly two-way trade.
And when we get to trades from Twitter in a little bit, it's important to know that we don't know the context fully for them. So if one team's strong, one team's weaker, it's definitely important to look at that aspect at least. But I think, Noah, your trade, it's kind of a garbage trade. Like, I think for the person who you fleeced the person. I mean, you got a better quarterback and you got a better wide receiver. So I don't see what they got. Yeah, no. In all honesty,
completely agree. Drew Brees definitely a better player than Andrew Luck, and then Jordy Nelson is now definitely the number one receiver in Oakland. Sammy Watkins is probably one of the fourth or fifth targets there in Chiefs, even though they have a really good offense. Jordy Nelson's the number one receiver.
Watkins is too inconsistent and too much of a question mark to be able to say, all right, he's going to be a guy who I can play as my number two wide receiver versus Jordy Nelson. Even though you don't need him to play that role, he can play that role. And having multiple guys who can do that is incredibly important. I think that, interestingly, he only got 2.6 points in PPR leagues, so 0.6 points in non-PPR leagues like the one you're in this past week, even though he didn't have any Amari Cooper in that game. I think that's interesting to see that he's getting older. There are a lot of question marks about him, but I think that you definitely, in my opinion, at least, you won that trade.
I think for me, I think it benefited me a lot. I was surprised that he accepted it at first. I thought he wasn't going to accept it. I was going to have to throw in like Adrian Peterson or someone else to get Drew Brees. But I was surprised. I also think it helped him because he did have Drew Brees on a bye, and he didn't have another quarterback, so Andrew Luck helped out in that way.
To wrap up the show, most important thing to look at for trades is how will this benefit your team? How much do you need the player right now versus how much can you afford to wait and bank on them improving? Because a player, if you are in a good spot with your team, the best way to improve and make sure that you don't get caught up by the rest of your competition is to go to guys who need guys now, have much who have low value, trade low, and sell high. That's the biggest thing for trades. Because if you're doing in that middle ground, it becomes a bit of a sticky situation for you, at least.
I think that's a good way to end the show. Thank you, Griffin and Luke, for coming on. This has been Fracturing Football on 91.3 WHJE Carmel. This next song is Give It Away, because you might need to give some of your players away to be playoff ready for fantasy football.